All right, Bernie Miklas back with you on the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. Thank you for your support. Please subscribe if you haven't. And if you are checking us out, please subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything, as I like to say. And I'm having a great time doing these for everyone. And we're off to a terrific start. Early Thanksgiving to everyone. And I'll do another video tomorrow for sure. So, but I just wanted to, I'm in that Thanksgiving mood, right? All right, here's what I want to talk about today, and we'll appreciate your comments on this. I appreciate all your comments that you leave for me. And Nolan Arenado news, not no news, but kind of an update. Katie Wu, the Athletic, the outstanding beat writer for the Athletic, Katie Wu, had an update with some information, and she kind of reset where the Nolan Arenado Cardinals trade situation stands. And so I'm going to go through this. Because a couple things jumped out at me, and I'm sure if you or you're an Athletic subscriber, and you should be, that way you already kind of know what she's written about. And it's nothing earth-shattering, which is nothing to do with her reporting. It's good. I'm just saying. It's not like they're close to making a trade or something like that. But the one thing I wanted to do with this is that she described the Cardinals' position on various aspects of an Arenado deal. And again, I want to make this perfectly clear. I'm going to be saying that might be critical. It's not about her reporting. It's about the information that she reported. And the information comes from her sources with the Cardinals and with presumably Nolan Arenado's camp. So just so we understand each other. Anyway, one of the things she said, this is the interesting thing about it to me, the most interesting. Quote, sources familiar with the situation believe the Cardinals will begin to pursue a trade more aggressively come the winter meetings, which open December 9th in Dallas. This is the part. There is some news. Quote, the 10-time Gold Glove winning third baseman is willing to play first base or at least spend less time at third to create roster flexibility for a potential new team. Well, That kind of puts it in a new light. It tells me that Arenado might want to be traded more than he has let on, or he wants to be traded, but he hasn't, you know, specifically said, please trade me. This is a request. And some of the people that I've heard from, you know, just fans or whatever, seem to say, well, it's not like he's demanded to be traded. It's not like he's requested to be traded. Well, come on now. Let's be realistic here. I don't think the dude wants to stay here, all right? But he's got the no-trade clause, so he's not going to just sign off on anything. It's got to be a trade that gets him excited. But the fact that he's willing to play first base, there's some teams that might be looking for a first baseman, or they may view him differently because of it. So wait a minute, we could play him at third, we could play him at first, give us that added value because you can move him back and forth, you can DH some. All of a sudden, maybe other teams that are interested, teams that he would be interested in as well, will take a second look or a harder or a closer look at this. We'll see. As Katie Wu reported, quote, a few teams have expressed initial interest, but as winter meetings approach, talks are likely to intensify. There's a growing sense throughout the industry that Arenado will be on the move. Okay, that's good. But so far, as she reported, Katie Wu, the preliminary discussions have yet to lead to any real progress. That's not surprising because there's a lot to work out here, and everybody's kind of feeling each other out about different parts of this, a prospective deal. And Arenado and Mozeliak, of course, we know about this, and they talked, they met late in the season, and, you know, Mozeliak wanted to just check his temperature in terms of being traded. And Arenado, as we repeat, did not say, yes, trade me. I want out of here. He didn't say that, but he was agreeable to the idea. He was open-minded to the idea, but it's got to be something he likes. Now here's where I wanted to dig into this with some other things about the information or the Cardinals' view on this, where they stand on this, on some of the areas. And listen, I know that they're not going to come out and tell a reporter or anybody who's looking for a source. They're not going to say, well, hey, we'll give them away. You know, we're going to make it easy for teams. We're going to get rid of them, or, you know, it's not good for him to be here. It's not good for us. We got to play the kids. We got third base. That's a spot where we can play him. So no, you can just have him. And we'll pay some of the money that's owed to him. They're not going to put that out there. That might be how they feel at the end of the day, at the end of the process, but not now. So as I make fun of some of this stuff, keep that in mind, that I understand why their messaging is what it is right now. You don't want to give the idea to a team that, you know, you're selling low, real low, bargain prices. No, they want to try to pretend they have leverage when really they don't. But you got to try. And John Mozeliak likes trying that. So, all right, how many times have we heard John Mozeliak talk about over and over and over and over and over again that the front office focus is going to be, for 2025, is going to be about, well, continuing to develop the young players at the minor leagues, giving them better facilities, giving them this, giving them that, better instruction, this and this and that. That's what Chaim Bloom's taking care of, and get the infrastructure upgraded. We're spending money on that. But it's also about giving more playing time opportunities to young players at the big league level. And we've talked about this before, but to simply recap, there's not that many spaces open where you could just let a young player or two just take the job, share the job, get a lot of playing time, abundant playing time all year. Third base is definitely one of those positions if they can clear Arenado out of there. So unless they can clear him out of there, then I'm not sure where some of these guys are going to play exactly. And I'm talking about infielders primarily and DHs, but if Arenado's there, even if he's there for the first 4 months before a trade at the deadline, that's 4 months where you can't play Nolan Gorman at third base and play Thomas Sagesi at third base and maybe let them share the job. And then Gorman could also play a little second base. Sagesi can play some second base. You can move him around. But I could see a situation where, you know, Sagesi's going to play against left-handed pitching. Gorman's going to play against right-handed pitching, and they're going to share third base, and they're going to, in effect, show what they can do or show what they cannot do defensively over there. But if Arenado's standing on third, or he's standing to the left of third, not going to happen. The path is blocked. So then, you got to keep that in mind when you think about next time you hear Mozeliak or anyone from the Cardinals talking about, oh, it's the year of the kids. It's the year of the young birds. The baby birds, we're going to play them. Where are you going to play them? There's just not that many vacancies, right? Especially Wilson Contreras taking over first. I think Burleson can play some corner outfield. He can DH. He can play some first base. But other than that, you got a shortstop. You got plenty of people you can put at second base. But third base, boy, does that give you an opening to really, really kind of go in earnest with this idea of opportunities for young players. Gorman's still a young player. Gorman has not really played third base in the major leagues. That's his natural position, so it makes sense. So, JC, you're trying to find out exactly what he can do and can't do. He can play some third base. How good is the question? That's why you want to give him time in 2025 to find out. So the Cardinals keep saying this about, well, if this is about opportunities for young players, media, fans, that's what 2025 is all about. It's also about slashing payroll, giving a significant portion of the money saved into the Chaim Bloom project and the minor leagues player development, get the Cardinals up to speed after years of neglect. But as Wu phrased it, quote, St. Louis is willing to temporarily concede putting winning at the forefront and instead prioritize consistent playing time for its emerging young core. Again, one way to do that, third base. I already said it. I keep saying it. Third base is an avenue for that movement, that youth movement John Mozeliak loves to talk about. It's kind of become their marketing pitch, right? Come see the young kids play. Except if you have, you're going to have a 33-year-old first baseman, Contreras. I'm fine with that. And you're going to have a 34-year-old third baseman. And the third baseman's in a year decline. He's got still got a lot of hefty money left on his contract. So come see the kids play, Cardinals fans. Well, yeah, a little bit. Come see him play a little bit. I don't think that's the marketing pitch that they really want to put out there. But You take third base out of the equation, man, I'm still having a hard time figuring out where all these young players are going to go, right? Anyway, here's the part where I think it starts to get silly. Again, the information, not the reporting, but the information. In Wu's words, quote, St. Louis would presumably target prospects or young players with considerable amounts of remaining control, contract control, as a return for Arenado, which would obviously fit into the youth movement and would strengthen the Cardinals' future. Okay, so it's not going to be a salary dump, and you're going to target prospects or young players and have put them in place to be part of this youth movement. And we're talking about good young players. We're talking about a good prospect. Okay, so let's follow along with me here. But the Cardinals have also said, and Wu indicated as much, but her sources have told her that the Cardinals are likely to resist eating significant money in a trade. But potential suitors might resist giving up better talent if they could not acquire Arenado at a discounted rate. So let's say the Cardinals don't want to eat any money. This is not going to be a salary dump. They want, they're not giving up. They did not going to be a salary dump. If they trade him, it's going to be because it'll make them better. They're going to target prospects. They're going to target young players. They want to use this as a way to get younger and have a better future and all that. You notice how this is going? It's like the Cardinals kind of want to have everything and give up nothing except an aging third baseman in decline who has still not a monster contract, but a sizable one, $74 million owed. So I'm kind of confused as to why, if they're serious about this, how they expect to get a deal done. And Katie Wu adds two things. Arenado will only waive his no-trade clause for an organization set up to contend for multiple seasons.
Okay.
Not a surprise. That's what we figured. That's why he wanted to be in St. Louis. But in St. Louis, they haven't won a postseason game in his four seasons. They only made the playoffs in 21 and 22, but haven't made them 2 years in a row. In fact, his first two seasons here, they were 42 games under 500, or excuse me, his first two seasons here, they were 42 games over 500, and their winning percentage was 565. In his last two seasons here, no playoffs, a 475 winning percentage, and 16 games under 500. So, yeah, unless he wants to have another 2-3 years of losing or mediocrity or non-playoff team, yeah, he would want to have a say in where he goes. Then Wu added in her reporting at The Athletic, quote, both the team and player are specific in what they are looking for and in what they will or will not concede in a deal. So to recap, the Cardinals want everything. You know, not going to give them away. We expect, you know, prospects or a good young player with plenty of service time left before he becomes a free agent. We don't want to eat a lot of salary. We don't want to absorb money to Arenado. And on and on. And it's like, well, if you're not willing to do any of that stuff, I mean, if you're dead serious about that, then how are you going to trade him? And I would say this to Arenado. Unless you want to sentence yourself to more losing and more October spent out of the postseason tournament, you might want to be a little more flexible in your thinking, just like as the Cardinals have to be more flexible in their thinking if they are serious about wanting to trade Arenado. And if he is serious about wanting to get somewhere that'll give him a better chance to win, look, you know, how many teams do you look at where you say, oh, yeah, they'll be in the playoffs for sure next year and the year after that? Oh, there's a few, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't mean that all those teams are also specifically desiring to trade for him and to do it on the Cardinals' terms. So he needs to be a little more open-minded too. The Cardinals definitely need me to be more open-minded and be pragmatic and realize what they would like to get ain't going to be what they get, right? Or what they're asked to do, they may not want to do, eating money. But to pull off the trade, they're going to have to go, okay, we'll do that. So the Cardinals apparently think they have some leverage, and they don't. They have none. Arenado has leverage because he has the no trade clause. He can veto anything that comes his way. It's presented by the Cardinals, right? Okay. No, I don't like that trade. Veto. No, not going there, not going here, not going there. Get that away from me. Not even thinking about it. Veto. I'll say you want to stay here. Okay. You say no to everything. You really want to stay here. You're a pretty unhappy guy the last couple of years. The body language was awful. You're grumpy as could be. You tried to be positive in the second half last season. I think everyone appreciated that more. I know the young players did, but can you imagine him in this situation? He's going to be 34 in the spring, which means if he stays here two or three more seasons, he's going to be 35, 36, 37. Not a pretty picture, right? Let me understate it and say these are not ideal circumstances for Nolan Arenado's happiness as a professional ball player, right? Because you know what it is? It's Colorado part two, right? Cardinals are more prestigious franchise, but we're talking about in the here and now. This is closer to the Colorado situation he wanted out of, right? So everybody's got their demands and no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. No, I refuse. No, we're not. We'll never make a trade like that. You know, blah, blah, blah. Now, both sides going to have to give in a little bit here, right? The Cardinals won't get, if this is going to end in a trade, all right, the Cardinals won't get what they want in this. And if Arenado stays, says no to everything, he won't get what he wants in this. The Cardinals want Arenado out of here. They want to play young players at his position that he vacates. They want to save some money to be able to reload whatever war chest they're going to reload financially for 2026, 2027. So if the Cardinals can't get what they want in this, and they're not going to, then why are we even talking about, right? They clearly have goals, and they're going to have to do whatever they can to make the goals work. Even if it's the Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want, but you can get what you need. I think I got that right. And it's exactly right. That describes Arenado and it describes the Cardinals and the position they're in. They're not going to get what they want in a perfect situation. They're not going to get that. They're not going to get the ideal trade. But they can get what they need. The Cardinals can get third base open for young players. They can take some money off the books. Not all of it, some of it. Arenado can get to a better place in terms of having a chance to win sooner rather than later. And maybe it's closer to home. Maybe he's always wanted to, Houston wants him. It might help his offense. Chance to play for, the Yankees just because it's such a storied franchise. There's some places I would think he'd want to go to. And I'm not making any prediction. I'm already so burned out on clicking on clickbait. It's just every time there's a rumor dropped about who wants Arenado, you can count on reading 25,000 blogs with proposed trades that give me a headache after I read the first proposal because they're all stupid. Well, they're not all stupid. There's a couple of pretty smart people that I respect that do these things, like my guy Josh Jacobs at FanSided. But I don't like to do that. If I ever do a video here where I'm just run through all these make-believe trades, this guy over here and this guy in Ottawa says the the Red Sox are interested in Arenado. Okay, let's make some deals. Which means we sit here and make up fantasy deals. I swear to you, I'm getting a headache even thinking about it. I don't do that. I am grouchy in certain ways. That's one of them. Because you know what? None of these proposed deals that bloggers make, that offer, right? I don't remember one that ever came true. They're flights of fancy. They're fun. I get they're not fun for me, but I understand why they're fun for people to write and also for people to read. I get that. I'm just saying I'd rather not participate, right? But I'm not telling you you're wrong or silly for liking to read that kind of stuff or even write it. I do think some people border on the irresponsible about the stuff they put out there, because they get fans thinking, oh, this would be, did you hear the Cardinals have this, they have this proposal and they're talking about these players, and people like overlook the fact, no one's talking about any of this. This is just something that the writer is proposing as trying to play the role, not of one general manager, but two general managers, you know, making the trade, like on behalf of both teams. Well, here's what you do, fellas. Nah, be careful of what you read as far as attaching too much value to it. Some stuff, yeah. A lot of stuff, no. So the Cardinals aren't going to get what they want, but they can get what they need. Arenado ain't going to get what he wants entirely, but he can get what he needs, which is a way out of St. Louis and two or three more years of like irrelevant baseball, largely irrelevant baseball from a competitive standpoint. See, I'm beating this Rolling Stones thing into death. And I'm just like pounding it, right? Pounding it. For the trade to work for the Cardinals, they're going to have to be realistic and settle for a deal that, again, going to be below what they would prefer, right? But it would be a deal that accomplishes something that it's really important to do, which is to get Arenado off of third base and relocate it, okay? For a trade to work for Arenado, he will have to be realistic and settle for a trade that is not going to be his version of like, oh, I've always dreamed in playing in this city. Maybe he's got two or three of those type of teams in mind. He may not get that unless the Cardinals are willing to capitulate totally, eat a lot of the money and accept. Contact here for a second. It was a little glitch in the wireless. If I did, so welcome back to the Bernie Show. So I was saying Arenado might have two or three teams in mind that would be ideal, but we can't sit here and handicap whether there's a chance of that unless we know what the Cardinals are willing to do to make it happen. And they're saying, at least publicly now, they're posturing, they're not going to do this, they're not going to do that. We want this, we want that. Again, it's not going to happen. So it's all comes down to what both sides, either side's willing to do, the Cardinals and Arenado. He may not get his dream relocation, right? Cardinals may not get what they want as far as, you know, reimbursement or salary relief or any of this stuff. But both parties would be better off if they got something done, even if it's not everything that they would put on their checklist, or not even half the things, or one third of the things that they would put on their checklist. The idea of Arenado being on a non-contending team is for a couple years at least, maybe all three. It's just not a pleasant thought. And I can you imagine, as grumpy he's been the last couple years, can you imagine, despite what he may say publicly, how he feels inside, if it's going to be more of this for another two or three seasons, right? It's just not a good mix. Just not a good chemistry situation there. For everyone's sake, St. Louis front office, Arenado, John Mozeliak, or Arenado's agent, they have to stop being delusional, and they have to stop dreaming of a fantasy trade that's going to be so great for everybody, both sides, the Cardinals. Oh, this is great. We got what we wanted. Arenado, oh, this is great. This couldn't have worked out better. No more dreams, no more fantasy baseball, no more fake GM baseball. You got to be pragmatic. You got to be realistic. You got to get something done that will allow Arenado and the Cardinals to get on with their baseball lives and to make a new start. That's the only real objective here. Make a new start. Get on with the rest of your baseball lives. And the only other way out here, as I mentioned this earlier, is that if the Cardinals say, well, we can probably hold on to him until the deadline and then flip him at the deadline and probably get more. They probably could get more. And by the way, 4 months of baseball means that's 4 months of salary that come off the book. So there won't be as much money owed to him either for the Cardinals to pay a big chunk of or the new team to inherit. So yeah, the chances of a trade then would be favorable, you know, providing that he's not hitting 208 with no power or something like that. I don't think he's going to go off the cliff that bad, but don't hold me to that. So I think that even in that trade deadline scenario, that would work, right? As far as accomplishing what they want as a trade. As I said earlier, and I think it bears repeating, you know, they would not be able to use the third base spot during the first 4 months of the season to see what Gorman can do, to see what Sejacy would do, to see if Brendan Donovan's going to have a strong enough arm to play third base, or his arm can, his elbow can hold up making those throws from third base, right? This gives them a chance to look at all that and maybe even more. So even if they trade him at the deadline, man, you're still, you got 4 months of time when you could have been given opportunities to the younger players, and that's 4 months you ain't going to get back, right? You understand what I'm saying here? This doesn't have to be a mess. It doesn't need to be this way. It can be mutually beneficial, but that won't happen unless the Cardinals and Arenado find some common ground. You got to find some common ground, and to do that, you first have to find some common sense. Right? Yeah. I could go on, but if I did a part two today, and I may write about this instead at scoopsnetwork.com, I did it as a little simple thing, and I'm just going to tease it because I think I'm going to do something with this today or tomorrow. Arenado's first two seasons here as a hitter and a fielder, compared to his last two seasons here, the decline is obvious. That's all I'll say. That's why he's got to be realistic. And that's why the Cardinals got to be realistic. And they got to hope that someone thinks Arenado can make a bounce back or something. But anyway, common ground, common sense. To find the common ground, you first have to have the common sense. That'll do it for right now. And I appreciate Katie Wu's reporting. And thank you all for listening or watching, and thank you all for your comments, and I'll be back at some point soon, maybe an Arenado part two later in the day, which just would be about specifically his decline over the last 2 years. If not, I'll get to that tomorrow, or I'll write about it. It'll be somewhere. All right, you take care, and thank you for watching.